You're listening to Idaho Matters. I'm Gemma Gaudette. The Snake River Seed Cooperative is a collection of family farmers here in the Intermountain West who work together to produce a wide range of locally adapted seeds. Then that seed-saving knowledge is shared with farmers in our region, and the goal, growing a robust regional seed shed. Joining me live in studio to talk more about the cooperative is Casey O'Leary. She is the co-op's founder and director. Welcome to the program.
Thank you.
So tell me about the cooperative. How does it really work?
Sure. So we are a group of, at this point, I think we're 36 Intermountain West farmers who grow a variety of garden seeds. I think at this point we're stewarding about 300 plus, maybe almost 400 varieties of seeds at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And we grow them. We all bring them together in our little, we call it the seed shack. It's a little shed on one of our farms here in Boise. And we put them into garden seed packets and we sell them on nursery shelves and we sell them on the internet and stuff like that. And then, so we sell them somewhat to home gardeners and also to small farmers. We're pretty small, so we're not selling to big farmers at this point. But
And so what kind of range when you say, you know, seeds? I mean, is it just food? What is it?
Yeah, there's vegetables, herbs, flowers, fruit, few fruits. Yeah.
And you founded this. So tell me about how you got this idea.
Well, I had been growing seed on my own farm for a few years. My farm is here in Boise. It's a little urban farm here in Boise. And I'd been doing that for several years. And essentially, I can only grow just the way that seed production works. You can only grow, say, like with a cucumber, for example. I can only grow one kind of cucumber on my farm and not have it cross-pollinate with other cucumbers. So if I want to save seed off of it, if I grow more than one kind, then they'll cross-pollinate and my seed won't come true to type. So when you buy, you know, a Market More cucumber seed from me, if I had two different kinds of cucumbers in my field, they would cross-pollinate and the seed would not be the same, would not be true to type. So it occurred to me that at some point I should start working with other farmers so we could offer a wider variety of seeds to the area. And so, and plus it would take the pressure off of me. I started to feel a little bit, there were some people that were relying on my seeds and were telling me they were relying on them. And it was like, oh my God,
lot of pressure.
Yeah, what if I have a crop failure or something, you know? Like the idea, you know, of the robust regional seed shed is that we have some resilience built in. So we have multiple growers who know how to grow seeds and can grow them and are growing them and that kind of thing. So it seemed like a good community service to start to make sure that many of us have this knowledge and can share with our community. And there's a lot of really amazing seed production going on in Ada County and Canyon County, but most of those seeds, almost all of them, are shipped. They're grown on contract for big seed companies elsewhere. And so we don't, as Idaho gardeners necessarily, it's kind of like our Idaho potatoes. It's really hard for us to get a hold of them.
We get the rejects of them.
Yeah, exactly. So, you know, the idea was to relocalize our seed system so that if we grow the seeds here, you can also buy them here.
And a lot of people have their own little home garden.
Exactly.
So they can purchase your seed.
Mm-hmm.
I got onto your website. I mean, you can literally click and buy what you want.
Yeah. And the cool thing about that is that you are choosing seed. Like I was just speaking with the volunteer outside the showroom here today that was saying, well, I need a cantaloupe. What should I grow? And it's like, well, funny you should ask. In 2014, we did a massive cantaloupe trial on our farm, and we grew all these different kinds of open-pollinated cantaloupe varieties. And I can tell you that the one that grows the best in our area is this one.
Hmm.
You know, so it's like by buying the seeds from people that are growing them locally, you know that you're getting stuff that's going to work really well for your garden.
That's a really interesting point because I've never really thought about that. I mean, you think like, oh, I'm going to grow a tomato, but maybe certain tomatoes don't grow as well in certain soil or in certain climates, but you've kind of taken all the guesswork out of it.
Mm-hmm. Or we're moving in that direction anyway. I mean, they're adapting to our local climate, you know? So seeds are highly elastic. They can change with the place. They can take in all this information every generation with the world around them and where they're at, and they can incorporate that into their DNA and pass it on to their children. So every time you grow a seed in the same area, it gets more and more adapted to your area. And that goes for people who save our seeds too. You know, I mean, we only grow open pollinated seeds, which they're non-hybrid, which means that if you save them in your garden and you replant them, they'll come true to type for you as well. And so you could save your own and you could start adapting your own seeds to your own garden as well. and they would just become, you know, uniquely situated to Gemma Gaudette's backyard.
Well, there you go. I'm speaking with Casey O'Leary. She is the founder and director of the Snake River Seed Cooperative. So what does this mean for the average consumer? I mean, is there a benefit to getting, you know, a locally sourced seed?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, in addition to that local adaptation and the fact that we've trialed them and we know they work well for our area, like, you know, we're not selling anything that doesn't grow in our area because we grow them in our area. You know, we know they grow. But the other benefit, I guess, is the economic benefit to the small farmer. You know, I mean, we are, it's important to figure out how to keep our economies in some ways regionalized, you know, and that there's a real value, no matter what the industry, in choosing to buy local versus choosing to buy from wherever. And, you know, the problem with seed is that there's not very much transparency in the food system when it comes to seed. And, you know, even as we have this movement toward local food, you know, you can go to the farmer's market, you can go to, you know, you can join a CSA. There's all these wonderful ways you can get a hold of local food. But if all of that local food is being grown from a seed that was trucked in here from somewhere else, then it's not truly a local food system, you know? And so that's a value to the consumer too, is that we are building something here that is actually working for our area and that could continue to work over time, you know, as the climate changes or as whatever sort of disruptions happen. I mean, it's nice that we're you know, stewarding this selection of seeds that will do us well for the future as well.
And I would assume that non-GMO, organic, how does that play into all of this?
Well, we definitely will not knowingly ever work with or sell GMO seeds. And we also don't sell hybrid seeds, not that there's anything wrong with them exactly, but they don't come true to type if you save them yourself. And we really want to promote the idea that anybody can do this. Anybody can save seeds in their own garden. And then as far as the organic thing, we make our growers follow certain protocols that we essentially follow organic standards, but not all of us certify organic. There's a cost to that. There's, you know, a lot of kind of paperwork and inspections, and many of our growers who are commercial farmers who benefit from being certified organic are certified organic. But then, you know, we also get seeds from, you know, Kelsey's backyard blue flax seed, and she's not going to certify organic, you know, so therefore we can't actually call our seeds organic because you can only use that word if
you know where those seeds are coming from.
Yeah, and we all are very serious about not, you know, no chemical fertilizers, no synthetic pesticides or fertilizers, that kind of stuff. Yeah.
And how many farmers and growers do you work with within the co-op?
I think there were 36 of us last year.
And we say Intermountain West, so they're not just all in Idaho then?
No, they were initially all in Idaho, and then we've added just a couple of people that we just love. Because, I mean, you know, like we always talk about how the borders of the state are kind of arbitrary in some ways, you know. So what we're looking at is we define our Intermountain West bioregion as, you know, everything from like eastern Washington, eastern Oregon, northern Nevada, northern Utah, western Montana, you know, very that kind of surrounding the state, this high desert, you know, very hot, dry summers, you know, irrigation considerations, you know, a lot of caliche, alkaline soils, that kind of thing.
I was going to say, I mean, you have to stay within the same type of climate, I would imagine, in order to say, you know, yes, this will grow in your backyard, you know, in the Treasure Valley or in McCall. So the climate has to be similar.
Yeah. And, you know, and that's been a challenge for us as we've tried to serve a bigger footprint, you know. And when you're talking about McCall and you're talking about Boise, I mean, they're quite different.
They are.
Growing season, you know. And so, you know, we have a good high mountain gardeners selection, and we have gardeners that test those, and we have gardeners that work with those, and we have some growers that are in high mountain areas too. So, you know, it's a way that we can kind of get that feedback loop. Because, yeah, as my friend Ed Wilsey used to say, not everybody lives in the banana belt, Casey, which is what he calls Boise. So, yeah, so in that case, it's nice to have people that are in colder climates that can test the varieties for colder climates. And they know what they're doing. I mean, you know, they're not trying to grow winter squash and long season corn and, you know, Brandywine tomatoes. Like, they know what's up.
But that's great that you have people that are growing in those different areas like the high mountains, so that you also, once again, if you are a backyard farmer, you know what will work in your garden.
Exactly. You know, and we also do a lot with the native plants, like flowers, native flowers too. And so that's a nice thing too, that we can help to create this regional sense of place. You know, not everywhere needs to look like the East Coast.
Right.
You know, so it's nice to have that. And of course, those are plants that are well adapted to our Mountain West. You know, the the buckwheats and the penstemons and stuff like that that do really well in our area, and then give us that regional sense of place as well. You know, we belong to this place and we might as well act like we belong to this place.
So can anyone get on your website and get seeds? How does that work?
Yeah, anybody can. Yeah. And we and anybody can save their own. From their own or whatever. We also do offer a lot of classes on seed saving. And okay. if anybody's interested in learning more about that, you know, we do a lot of that kind of thing. There will be we do an annual seed swap here in Boise, which will be coming up February 16th at Edwards Greenhouse. It's free and open to the public. I teach 1 hour free seed saving class. So if you're interested in learning how to save seeds, we also just launched a new seed savers club for people who are maybe wanting to take their seed saving or their gardening to the level of seed saving. So we try to, I mean, that is the point, is to engage more community members in doing the work of learning about how to save seeds in their own gardens. And yeah, it's great if you buy our seeds, but it's also great if you learn to save your own.
Yeah, absolutely. I want to thank you for coming in today. My guest, Casey O'Leary, she's the founder and director of the Snake River Seed Cooperative. Thanks so much for coming in today.
Yeah, thanks for having me.